Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. This is Paul's prayer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave to Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills it all. We've been talking about expanding the kingdom. We've been preaching about the kingdom of God. We've been talking about what God wants to do. But there's some things that we need to understand if God's going to do that. We need to understand that He's going to do it through His body. And very often we come to a place where we're waiting for somebody else to do the things that God has called us to do. We kind of sit back and relax and say, well, God has ordained that people do this. Let's look at it a different way. God has ordained that you do it. God's ordained that I do it. And so what I want to do right away, because I know the thoughts that some have, and that is, who, me? Sometimes we become Gideons. I'm the least of my father's kingdom. And our tribe is the least of the tribes of Judah. Or Saul, I was least. My family was the least in the tribes. And we take, for some reason, an attitude that God will never do that through me. And I want to show you something this morning that's not really tying into what I'm preaching, but as I was here yesterday, just started thinking about some things. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Okay, let's understand something. If God didn't work in your life, you're not saved. If God's grace didn't reach out to you, if God didn't desire that people come to Him, none of us would be here this morning. The fact is, I'd be dead. I know I'd be dead. The way I was going, the way I was living, there was no hope in the worldly sense, but because of God's grace. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So how many of you did something major to inherit salvation? It's all God. Are we okay with that? It's all God. Now this verse, you don't hear too many people preach on, because it's, until you break it down, you're wondering, what is He saying? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. So what I did yesterday and today, I just got the Greek and started digging. And the Greek is still Greek to me. The word workmanship is from the Greek word poema, which means and describes what I'm going to read to you. When you got saved, when you made up your mind that you're going to respond to the Holy Spirit and you gave your life, you allowed the Holy Spirit to bring Jesus to your heart and life, you got saved. When you got saved, God put His most powerful and creative effort to make you new. Once God was finished making you new, you became his masterpiece. Poiema is a Greek word that talks about when Rembrandt made a painting, that was his masterpiece. You and I have become God's masterpieces. Now don't hide and duck. Who, me? Skillfully and artfully created in Christ Jesus. God's creative, artistic, intelligent genius went into your making. There is nothing cheap about your life that God gave you. And there's nothing unacceptable about you to God. Do you notice what he didn't talk about? He didn't talk about your past. I want to tell you something. Your excuses about your past have just been destroyed. And your I can'ts have been destroyed. The only thing now that's got to be destroyed is I won't. Because God has designed you with his most creative, intelligent genius to live for him. And when that takes hold, we're not worried any more about what the devil's trying to do, and we're going to deal with that in a very special area this morning, or what's happening around you. Because you're in a relationship with God that he ordained and that he made, and that he made in you. Therefore, when God tells you you can go and do this, or just leads you to do something in his kingdom, you know he's behind you because he's already made you. And so now I come back to Ephesians 1. Because until we understand what God has already done in us, we're not going to realize the extent of what he's going to do and what he's doing. And so Paul is writing in Ephesians chapter 1 that he never ceases to pray for us. I've got to find my little tool. In verse number 17, that the eyes of your understanding, do we have that? Okay, right here. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, what's he talking about? The word eyes here is not what you see through. It's not these. There's a special Greek word that deals with this only in this verse. And what he's talking about is that your mind and your heart are opened, enlightened. That the light of what God has for you shines through it. The word enlightened means just to shine through. Okay, let's look at something. I'm not her. You better run. How can you get upset with that one? I don't know. Jason had a hard time disciplining.
Amen.
Oh, mommy's in the back.
I am sitting here.
Yeah. Okay, we're enlightened. You know, there's a lot of believers who need to take another couple steps into the relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
Paul is saying, through this enlightenment, you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints. Do we really come to a place of understanding that word hope? It comes to mean the expectation that God has for me and what I'm expecting God to do. And too often, our major expectation is just getting to heaven. And that's wonderful. I'm not knocking heaven. It's a lot better than the alternative. But God has a plan now, an expectation that he wants us to have in him to work through our lives now, to build his kingdom in us so we are building his kingdom all around us. And the riches of the inheritance, what's lacking with God? Nothing. Nothing. So what's lacking in your life that God wants you to have? And why would it be lacking? If we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, if he's given us everything that pertained to life and godliness, then we need to expect and take hold of it. Amen? We need to take hold of that. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your family salvation. I'm talking about communities being transformed. I'm talking about the kingdom of God actively working in our communities so that we see change. And God doesn't want you to live in frustration of unfulfilled promises. You read the Bible and you say, well, why not me? We read about things going on and we see things going on in others' communities. Well, why not ours? Have we come to a place of really, as we talked earlier, expecting God to do it? Not just asking and wishing, but coming to a place where there are demands put on the Holy Spirit. And I'm not telling you boss him around, but we're just taking the word of God and saying, this is what you've said. Let's see it happen. Let's see it fulfilled. Let's see a move of God that Siston's never seen before. Or Rosalind. Or wherever. Rosalind, Enemy Swim. Let's see God do it. And why not? There's only two reasons I can really think of that God doesn't move. And that is because we don't expect him to, or we don't think he needs to. And when we expect him to, we're in there asking him. And when we know the need is, we just can't get it out of our minds. And so God wants you to understand that. That's why we pray. That's why we intercede. That's why we get on our face before God. That's why we want to see God move, and we want to be in a place where we are not hindering anything he wants to do. But we're joining with him. We're in agreement with what he says he wants to do. Verse number 19. And that we'd understand that, and then what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. What is the exceeding greatness? There's several different words for power. Which one do you know the best? Dunamis. You shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis. There's another, the most powerful Greek word is kratos, for power. The kratos power is what shook the earth when Christ was crucified. It's what rolled the stone away and shook the ground. And where the Roman soldiers fell out, basically unconscious, and the earth shook at the resurrection of Jesus. It's the most powerful word that God has and that man's ever seen. There is an amazing power that's beyond really our comprehension. And that's the power that was used when Jesus was raised from the dead that shook everything. Now, I want you to understand something. There are people saying, God, where's your power? As I was working on this and just thinking and praying last night, I started thinking back to Satan's temptation of Jesus. And every once in a while, my mind may work a little different than normal, but it's still mine. Do you realize that Satan, who once was Lucifer, spent time in heaven? How many know that? So he met Jesus there. And yet, even though he knew Jesus, he did the temptations for 40 days, and then after the 40 days, he went into the big three. He wasn't quite sure whether Jesus would respond or not. Now, as he comes to Jesus, Jesus didn't rebuke him. He didn't say naughty things to him. He basically ignored him except for telling him the scripture. What does that say up here? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ? He wants us to understand that power. He wants you to get a hold of that power. He doesn't want you spending every day focusing on what Satan is doing. He wants you focusing on what God is doing and telling the devil he can go wherever he needs to go. You're standing, you're walking, you realize, and yet you're not bothered by it. And somebody said, well, what do you mean we're not bothered by the devil? What can he do to you? In all reality, do you understand that Jesus took the greatest power that Satan had and turned it into the greatest victory that God ever performed? You understand that? Do we understand that everything that Satan has planned for Jesus never happened? Because Jesus had to die. And then in dying, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And the resurrection sealed the devil's doom. Come on. It absolutely took the teeth out of the tiger. So now he just gums you to death. Tries to. But let's put it in our lives. That Kratos power. What are you afraid of? What got our minds? And all Satan can do to you is lie to you. All a bluff. Good word. And so we come to a place where God wants us to know the greatest power that's ever been manifested was the power of the resurrection. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will give more life than you need to your mortal body.
Amen.
Don't have to worry about dying. Just worry about having too much life. And we come to that place where we walk that out. God wants us to have the wisdom and the insight and the revelation, the things that he's unveiling, so that we understand what is going on and we realize we can't lose.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to just hang on white-knuckled. You can't do it. We hold on to this thing and we just hold on and we hold on and we hold on. And you know what happens? We get tired of holding on. Why don't you just let Jesus hold on to you? Put yourself in that place where God just has a hold of you. And the power and the insight and the understanding and the wisdom. And you don't come to a place of saying, am I going to make it? Of course you're going to make it. God did. And no matter what we're going through or what's happening or if the water lines are freezing up or if the sewer is plugged or whatever's going on, we make it.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I want to give you another word. You may feel that you're in something that you got over your head in. This is just too much. Can I tell you something? God's never been over his head. You just don't work the way I planned. Just let God do it. You say, well, that's a cop-out. Is it? No, that's faith. You know, I've been over my head several times. Every time I jump in a lake that's 10 feet deep, I'm over my head. But there are things God brings you to, not to get you over your head so that you're in a panic, but get you to a place where you're over your head, where only he can fulfill the thing he's called you to do. And that's amazing. Because as I'm trusting in him, I'm never over my head because he always has my hand. And we need to understand some of these things because you're going to hear all kinds of things about what's happening in the world. You're going to hear all kinds of things how America's going under. You're going to hear all the negative stuff. Can I tell you something? Most of it never came from God. We just got some Dallas home tapes. CDs, I'm sorry. Dallas Home was a friend of ours in college. Judy is mine. And that song that he sings just goes through my head day after day. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Never seen the righteous forsaken. You may be sitting around and you had a broken heart. There's a song that he sings. He died of a broken heart for you and me. There is not a feeling, there's not an emotion that you've gone through that Jesus hasn't felt.
Yes.
He was absolutely touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And now he tells us, let me strengthen, comfort, encourage, let my power be your strength. I want to give you revelation. I want to give you insight into things that are happening. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to absolutely consume you. And as you tread on scorpions and serpents, you're not afraid because God told us we would do that and nothing can hurt us. It's for you. Therefore, there's no reason to look at life with dark glasses. There's no reason to come to a place where we're fearful of getting up the next morning. There's no reason to live my life in depression. Because if I ever get depressed, I like to just pull the covers over my head and lay there. I know none of you are that way. But I want you to see this. Because we read the Bible, I read it. And read it, and read it, and read it, and sometimes, if you're like me, I read something like this morning, I had my mind thinking about the message, and I was kneeling here and reading the book of Acts, and I said, hey, wait a minute, I missed that. I got to go back and do it again. I got my mind somewhere else and my eyes on this. And we lose focus. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. There's a lot of things that we can trust in, but there's only one who really matters. Let his power, let his presence, let his glory. I'm going to ask you to do something that you think probably nuttier than fruitcake. But stand with me.